Trigger warning.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We all hear Locus Aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Jim? Can you feel it, Jeremy?
Of course.
Oh, yeah, I can feel it, Nick.
Yeah, so we're here on the Freedom Fiends. I got Jim Jesus and... Oh, Bipcot, that's right. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a Bipcot no government license. That means that it is that you can anybody can reuse this except government. And you can learn more at bipcot.org or .com. I can't remember which one.
It's org.
.org.
All right. But, hey, it's Nick Hazelton. I'm here with Jim Jesus and Jeremy Hengler.
Hey, you know,
I did it once, right?
You get better every time, man.
That's awesome.
Just stick with Heisenberg. It's easier.
Oh, wait, you're Heisenberg? I better arrest you.
Yes.
I better arrest you. Yeah, apparently I've been outed by the last time I was on, we were talking about a film called Alongside Night, which is horrible. And he got into this lengthy debate with me about how I should... If we should do a screening of the movie and debate him, and I was like, "Nah, you're a little crazy." Whatever. But now, because I won't respond to his request to do a debate, he has accused me of being a narcotics officer who has busted libertarians for drugs, and he's afraid that being visible to the public, someone might point me out as being a narc. Granted that I do YouTube live streams all the time, apparently no one has seen my face. I am a narc. I'm busting everybody here. You're all busted. You're all busted now. Somehow.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, that is the job of any good narc, right? Is to destroy people who make horrible movies and out them for the crazy people that they are. I mean, that's part of the job description, right? That's what I thought.
Yeah. From what I'm aware of, I believe the Alongside Night DVD Blu-ray combo pack has an insert that's actually secretly LSD blotter. So I must stop all sales of this narcotic from being sold. So, which interestingly enough, I went to the big place here in town where they kind of specialize in local stuff, like local media, music and video, and I could not find the Alongside Night film, even though it's kind of like a local thing. You know, it was filmed in Nevada or Las Vegas. The guy's from Pahrump. So.
Oh, I'm sure they just sold out of copies. You know,
yeah,
maybe they're on a back order or something.
it's the Citizen Kane that I just don't get, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I guess enough about that. Yeah, crazy people going to be crazy, and of course he's going to leave crazy comments. So, anyways, whatever.
Well,
so what's been going on other than that?
Oh, you know, the world is fun as always. I'm buried in 2 feet of snow over here in New York, so that's always fun.
No. Yeah, you're from New York. I have lots of things to say about New York. We could save it for later, but...
please, Donald, don't hold back.
Oh, no. I have some... I'm very open. Like, if there's anything that I am bigoted about, it's about New York City and that general area. Partially New Jersey, too, but... Yeah, I'm a New York City bigot, and I'm very open about that.
That's okay. I can't really blame you. I'm not a big fan of the city, or New Jersey, or most of New York, for that matter, either. I'm not exactly
or Long
here
Island.
By, well, yeah, that's where I am. I'm not exactly here by choice at the moment, but, you know.
Okay.
So I'm used to all the barbs. It's okay. They're well-deserved. It's not a fun place to live. I mean, please. They implemented martial law over the weekend again, you know. Not allowed to drive anywhere, because... the nanny state said it's not safe to be on the roads, and they would lock us up for being on the roads. So.
Yeah, blizzards suck.
I was actually disappointed in myself. I did say that the last time they did this, that I promised the next time I was going to be one of those crazy people out there just trying to tick them off. But Yeah, I woke up yesterday at around noon, looked outside and said, well, that would require me doing a lot of shoveling just to get into the city. So, yeah, laziness got in the way of my activism yesterday. But next time, yeah. I swear next time.
Yeah, maybe you should get Nick to come out there with one of his yaks and plow all that with his yak plow.
That's what I was
missing. That a thing? Is that a thing?
I have no idea.
Are they not trainable like that, I guess? I don't know.
You can train him. I'm sure you can train him to do that.
Oh.
I bet Tibetans do it all the time. They get snow up there, I think.
I think.
I think it has something to do with snow, yeah, something like that.
Do the people train them to kick their uncles, their drunken uncles?
I did not do that, if that's okay. What you're implying.
Okay. I'm implying. But... But nice we got that cleared up. So,
I think it's a class we can. Maybe I can get like that. Sounds like a money making venture. All right.
I don't think it's going to be as good as a endeavor as these monks who make flaming habanero hot sauce. That's an interesting name for a monk to be making a hot sauce, flaming anything. Yes. So what's this advice story? Does anyone want to read this? I don't want to read.
Oh, yeah, I'll take it. I stumbled across this just because I love hot sauce, so anything with hot sauce piques my interest. Normally, something about monks I would pass right by, but the two together, I said, hey, why not? So this is basically, it's a story about the, what is it? I'm going to mangle the pronunciation, but the Sabakio Abbey where was this? My page just closed.
Arkansas.
Yes, Arkansas. It's a group of monks that, in their spare time, they make hot sauces, and it's because it basically started because they eat very bland foods to try to save money, because obviously they're a monastery. They don't, you know, they run off of donations and stuff. So in order to be able to give back more as far as charity, they started buying, you know, food in bulk, beans and rice and stuff like that, that was relatively bland, but it's sustenance, so they could survive on it. So one of the monks, I think, took a trip down to South America and found out, they taught him about making hot sauce, you know, taught him about making hot sauce, so he brought it back to Arkansas, and now they actually make it and have been selling it, I think, since 2003 or 2004, somewhere around there. I thought it was interesting because, you know, it's basically the free market at work. they just decided to make something as a hobby, basically, and to keep themselves kind of sane, and other people liked it, and they decided to say, hey, we can make more of this. So where was the one line? They make 140 gallons of sauce, their first harvest. And where is this? They
it seems a little bit more efficient than a collection plate.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously use all the, you know, all the money goes back into their monastery, but it's, you know, it's providing a service and a product. And it seems like a win-win for everybody. So I love this story. Like I said, monks usually aren't my thing, but if they're going to make hot sauce, I'll go hang out.
Oh, I'm all for it, yeah. I'm a huge... I love hot sauce. I even collect some hot sauces every once in a while, but, you know, I end up eating them.
Yeah.
And the spicier, the better. I like the stuff that's made out of scorpion peppers and ghost peppers and all that stuff. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't burn both ways, it's you didn't really enjoy your food.
It's not doing the job.
Nope,
yeah,
it's not doing it.
Yeah, I love pretty much all spicy stuff, but especially hot sauce. I think that started when I was a kid. My dad and my uncle used to have a game, apparently, they played that I learned about when I was 12, where they would go to a pizza place, and while they were waiting for the pizza, they would take the little canister of red pepper flakes. And they would each shake a bunch into their hand, and then they would eat it, and then they would wait, and then they would do another one. And basically, it was to see who could do it the most without going for their cup of water. So at 12 years old, I thought I was a big man, you know, going out to eat with my dad and my uncle. So they wanted to play this game. I said, sure, I could play that too. And I cried a lot that day. But it toughened me up, and now I love things all things spicy. I have a friend of mine who actually makes wing sauce in his kitchen in New Jersey.
Oh, nice.
And it is rather delicious, which actually reminds me I'm in need of a new shipment of that. And I had another friend who's looking to start a business who sent me an email the other day asking if I'd be willing to promote it on my other podcast. And I said, well, you have to send me it first. I'm not just going to tell people to buy your hot sauce. I at least have to taste it first. But yeah, I'm always up for trying that. I have the same problem as you, though. People, I get the random bottles because people actually buy them for me as stocking stuffers and, you know, any of those grab bag, you know, gift giving things. There's always hot sauce in there for me, and somehow I always end up with it. But it never lasts very long because I put it on everything.
Yeah.
Eggs, macaroni and cheese, pizza.
Yeah. I finally had gotten my hands on a bottle, and I can't find this anywhere unless online, and I don't like ordering hot sauce online. It's just weird. I found a bottle of the habanero version of Tabasco, and I was like, oh, wow, I've only heard about this. I've never seen it in the store, and I was at a store, and I saw it, and I picked it up, and I fell in love. I like it a little bit more spicier than that, but and then I have, like, this friend who also a friend who has a friend who makes hot sauce, and he grows his own peppers for it. And he made this hot sauce with the seven currently hottest hot peppers, and it's just a puree. And they were like, oh, yeah, like, just put like a tiny dab. And I was like, don't tell me what to do. And I was just dumping it on my pizza. And they were like, how do you live? Like, what are your insides made of steel? How does this work? This is not possible. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. Well, I was kind of tearing up, but, you know, it was tears of joy. Yeah.
So what about you, Nick? You put hot sauce on your yak meat, or?
No, I really don't like spicy stuff.
What? I'm
not about that at all. I like it everything mild. I have to put a lot of sour cream in most chilies.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with sour cream with the hot sauce.
No.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I had to tone it down with it. That's down.
All right. Not yes. Everybody can eat the spicy stuff.
When I was your age, me and my friends used to have peppercini eating contests. The kids got it easy.
Seriously.
We go to the free market, I guess, where it's a little bit more spicier than Nick.
Gonna go for some more hot sauce. Maybe I can bring some back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
That make hot sauce. this is like one of the best stories that I've read this week, by the way. So he's one of the monks is quoted, Brother Reginald I don't know how to say that. I could spend a whole show trying to figure out how to pronounce this. But he says that you're up to your elbows and tingling. I get the I get to prayer and I'd be rubbing my eyes and crying throughout the prayer. The old monks would say, oh, look, oh, look at whatever his name is. He's so devout in prayer, he's crying. Like, not really. He's. Yeah. But apparently this monk sauce that they make, that's what it's called, is 25,000 Scoville units, which is significantly hotter than a Korean chili pepper or a jalapeno, but gentler than a Carolina Reaper or ghost chili. Well, I think that's kind of filler, because you could just say that's exactly how hot a habanero is.
Yeah, right.
that's the hotness of a habanero. Which seems which is spicy, but I think I can go a little higher than that. Personally, I don't know about these monks.
Well, I mean, according to them, that is spicy, because I think I read somewhere else in there where somebody had suggested that they make a mild version, and they claim that there's no such thing as mild about the habanero, but which is really not. But you're right. No. There's spicier peppers. I mean, I know there's a, where was it? Over in the city, there's a wing place that's underground that actually has a board of hot sauce choices for your wings. I think they have 50 different varieties in like spicy ratings.
Oh,
A couple of them are just labeled death. It's just, I mean, like I said, I like spicy too, and normally the spicier the better. Although for me, there's a limit, because there are certain points where when your mouth's on fire, you're not tasting anything else. It kind of ruins the experience.
Not for me. I can taste right through it.
Oh, see. I guess all the years of smoking have numbed my taste buds, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm kind of into like competitive eating, but I'm not into the volume. Like if people say, oh, if you eat this 6-pound burrito, you get your name on the wall. I don't even try for those, because I can't do it. My stomach's not that big. Even though I am fat, I can't do it. Which is weird. But, and it's funny, because you see the people who win those, they're all little skinny little women. Like teenage women, but the ones I do are like the spicy ones. If you could eat this bowl of ramen, that's a million Scoville units. I'll try that one. I tried that one and I failed. The one that's in LA. They have some other ones, but they have one here in town that I found, and I'm looking for someone to go with me for some moral support, but no one's like, I don't even want to be in the same room as that. But they do wings, and I think it's called the Hell Wing Challenge.
Fiend phone.
Like
Fiend phone.
Yeah. You can eat like 12 of their wings in a certain amount of time, and they give you gloves because they'll
this
burn your fingers.
This is Furries, the Fiend Phone, unnecessary, random, re-education, interruption, exigency system. This is Michael Dean.
There's no such thing as spicy furries, by the way. I just need a
point. Yeah, furries. And I wrote a furry. I wrote some furry fan fiction, even though I'm not a furry. Yeah. If you Google the Plump Buffet, this was it was sort of a cross between like. I don't know, just furry fan fiction and like, a documentary about Waco. It's about a bunch of cats who have a sex cult in the desert. It's one man, one male and like, 75 females, and, end up shooting out with the government. It's called The Plump Buffet. And my wife and I actually made a radio play of it with sound effects and with voices and like 7 or 8 voice actors doing like 100 different characters. It's really good. So go to patiobooks.com and you can download the whole thing for free. It's called The Plump Buffet. I highly recommend it. And the editor, Scott, please look that up and put it in the show notes. Thanks. Yes, Jim, you have a question.
Yeah, so is it anything like Fritz the Cat?
It's like Fritz the Cat. Yeah, that's what I described it as like 10 years ago. It was like Fritz the Cat meets, a documentary about Waco.
Okay. So it's not like Alongside Night.
No.
Okay.
No, and I would never try to make a movie of it. He should have made a radio play of Alongside Night. It would have been cheaper, and it would have been harder to criticize, and, it's probably easier to pull off. Because
It may have been good.
And also, if something's kind of cartoony... It's harder to make it bad because it has less, if the actors sound hammy, it works to the advantage, not to the disadvantage if it's a cartoon.
I bet this will go good with some hot sauce, some monk sauce.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Scorpions with hot sauce. I love it.
Scorpion hot sauce.
I've been bit by a scorpion. Any of you guys ever been bit by a scorpion? We'll talk about that when we get back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you.
We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Oh, you made a font? I did not know this.
Yes, I made a font using Fontographer, which is a program.
But that's a clever name.
Yep. It's, yeah, I made a font once. I can't find it. It was like 1999. I made a font called Grudge. Because there's a type of font called grunge fonts, which are like fonts that look like broken type. They're used a lot. You'd never want to read a book in them, but they're used for like titles and, you know, title cards in movies if it's a like messed up character or something. But I made one called Grudge where I took Times New Roman and just added like horns and spikes all over it and stretched it. And it's almost unreadable, but it's pretty cool. I did that. I built
that.
So tell us
about your Scorpion story.
Oh, I used to be in this band called Insecto in Southern California that was kind of like, it was called the Insecto Circus. And it was like, all the songs were about like three-headed babies and aliens and things like that. And I didn't write any of the songs. It was my friend's band and his guitar player quit like 3 days before a gig. And I just learned all the songs and they gave me a skeleton costume and I played with them for like 9 months until they found someone else. And it was in a way like the most fun I ever had in a band because there was no hassle. Like I didn't have to put up flyers. I didn't have to carry equipment. Like I would just show up, you know, in my car like 10 minutes before the show, play and then leave. Like I just had to do nothing and except play. So it was just nothing but fun, no responsibility. And it was a lot of fun. So we were playing. They were going to go play at Burning Man. They'd been invited to play at Burning Man. Bands are never invited to play at Burning Man, almost never. So it was kind of a and I wasn't in the band by then. I was like just going to see them, and they went out to the Salt Flats outside of L.A. to play and test all their pyrotechnics, and before Burning Man. And I went out there with this girl I was dating, and you know, it was like mellow after the band played, like everyone's sitting around a campfire, like 30 people sitting around a campfire. And I was just like lying back, looking up at the sky, you know, in shorts and boots in the desert with my head on this girl's lap and just totally at one, like listening to people play guitar and talk and looking at the stars. And I went from like the mellowest I've ever been to feeling like someone had stabbed me in the stomach with a burning nail in like no seconds. I just was lying there mellow 1 second. The next second was just like going and jumping around the fire. And I didn't have much desert experience, and they immediately figured what it was. And some guy came over with a flashlight and looked on the ground, and there was a scorpion there. And they gave me an antihistamine tablet, which made it not nearly as bad. That's a little trick there for scorpion bites. But it's it was not a very powerful scorpion. It was really small. It was like an inch long. And they also squished it with a boot and then threw it in the fire because there were dogs there. And even after you kill a scorpion, a dog will try to eat it and it'll like sting it after it's dead. So they had to throw it in the fire. What's your scorpion story?
Well, I moved to Vegas a while ago, and I ended up getting an apartment on the first floor for the first time ever in Vegas. And I learned that Vegas has a problem with scorpions because I've always lived upstairs.
Vegas is somewhere no one should live. I mean, they went out to the desert. The mafia said, well, we will build here, but you know.
Yeah. Well, the scorpions aren't native here. They're brought when they bring palm trees here. They hide inside the palm frond things. And that's how we get them. Anyways, I've seen them like kind of in my apartment every once in a while. Not anymore. I figured out a way to get rid of them. And I'd just be like, oh, wow, I almost stepped on it. But one time I put on a pair of pants. I just woke up, put on a pair of pants, you know, went to go do something. And as soon as I put my pants on, I was like, what is that? And then like I just felt something like sting me. And I was like, oh, ah. cuss words flew from my mouth, and I started shaking my leg, and a scorpion fell out. And I, you know, that kind of feeling where you see red in anger, but it was the same thing, but it was more like, no, it can't, I can't be stung by a scorpion. That's just not right. In my own house, that's not cool. I tortured it for a little bit, but then I ended up killing it.
Okay, Beavis. How insect court.
Hey, it tried to torture me. I'm going to torture it back. So, I was
did attack first, so
yeah. I guess. It was in my pants in my house, and it stung me for putting on my pants.
Yeah, that's bite you.
It was in my pants.
You got bit it on, was your on
my
legs.
Yeah. No. On my leg. Wow. It would still be alive today in great agony if it hit anywhere near that area. But yeah, I know that it's like a hot nail being jammed in, and it's weird because when you look at it, there's no mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. The scorpions don't leave marks. Which is weird.
Mine swelled up though.
Oh yeah, mine didn't swell up. I've been stung by, or bit by black widows and piccolo spiders before, and those leave huge giant zits. But they're not zits, they look like zits, but oh man, they're painful. But yeah, the scorpion thing, it hurts for a while, and then you just kind of walk it off. You get like this nice little like rush, kind of like you get like a little bit lightheaded as soon as you feel it. It was an interesting experience. Never had a sting give me some sort of, you know, trip, I guess. It was a very short trip, but yeah.
Kids, don't try this at home.
Yeah.
So, Davi Barker, we're trying to get him back on the Fiends. I've got a petition on my Facebook. If you go to my Facebook, Local Scrutinizer, is my name on there. Fiend, Michael Fiend. There's a petition to get Davi Barker back on the Fiends. You can also find it from it's my last post on Twitter. So go on there and hit like on that on Facebook. It's we have 48 likes so far. 48 people have signed the petition to bring Davi back, but we would like to bring him back. So there. Yep.
You're basically kind of voting for him?
I'm voting for him.
Voting for him?
Yeah,
it's kind of. He's kind of like, you're kind of voting for someone for office who doesn't want to be in office. At least we don't know if he wants to be in office.
Yeah, I actually showed this to a friend of mine who's like not even an anarchist, and he's like, "Oh, I don't vote," and he was serious. And I'm like, "Wait, because this guy used to be a drug addict and had been arrested a few times." And I'm like, "What? Does your criminal record stop you from voting on polls on Facebook? What did you? What's up, man?" But it really has nothing to do with voting. Voting is only immoral when it leads to you not being able to choose something, whereas, you know, voting inside a company or in a family or a group of people or on Facebook for something that doesn't involve, you know, government guns pointed at your head, it's all good.
Or voting with your dollar. That's a legitimate form of voting. It's not all voting is bad. It's just that particular one is bad.
So you can vote with your dollar without spending any money if you go on patiobook.com and get the audiobook, The Plump Buffet. And Jeremy's going to read the last four reviews of it. Go ahead there, Jeremy.
Sure.
Please.
All right. So the first one was...
Kitiara says...
Is that how you say that? Yeah, sure.
Kitiara. I think so.
Yeah. Let's go with that. As much as this book should be animated, it doesn't need to be. The narration and detail paint such a clear view in your head as you follow the tale of Dick Goodman and his cult of curvy kitties. Thank you, Thorn Daddy and Dolly, for another wonderful piece of art.
Yeah, wow, Dolly Lama is my wife's name on this. Yeah, and Dick Goodman, this is nothing to do with Saul Goodman. This is from like 2007 or 2008. Dick Goodman is the main character, the main cat. All right, read some more, please. James says... Okay.
James says, great fun. Conjured up images of Meet the Feebles and Fritz the Cat with a dose of submission and coffee. Pretty far out.
I was paid for that review. Oh, sorry.
No, these reviews are real. Absolutely. Matt says, and they are. There's people probably thinking we made them up because Jim just cracked wide.
Hey, they're here on the internet in front of
don't
me.
Don't put words in my mouth. I never wrote internet. That review.
They're here on the internet from 7 years before I knew who Jim Jesus was. So there. Okay. All right, so Matt says, I like Matt's one.
Excellent narration quality. You can tell a lot of work went into it. That being said, I'm not sure why the author decided to make the book about animals, other than a few cat puns and a reference to Christians being sheep. I was not picturing animals most of the time. Although, if you're a furry, this is probably the book for you. Fur flies? What?
Fur piles.
Fur piles included. There you
included.
Go. The comedy also there. Okay, that's not very grammatically correct. But I never really got any laugh out loud moments. Just a few. Yeah, I guess that's funny parts. Was it meant to be funny?
See, these are real. I wouldn't pay someone to write that. It's mixed. It's a mixed review.
Well, yeah, unless you were doing it to throw them off the trail, it's possible.
I'm not that smart.
All right, the last one was from Torakuma. Great story. Loved it. At first, I was like, okay, this could be interesting. Then as I listened to it, it sucked me in. I couldn't stop listening.
As I listened to it, it sucked.
Punctuation matters. I couldn't stop listening. I had to hear it all the way through. Again, I loved it. Thanks.
Yeah.
See, that's some good feedback right there.
Yep.
Better than the average YouTube comment of, you suck.
Yeah.
Because I said so.
Did someone end up writing any bad reviews at all?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, because if there was, you should contact them and call them like a narc.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been called a narc. Larkin Rose implied that you and I were government agents because we criticized him. That's come up a few times. Mark Stevens has said, and both Mark Stevens and Larkin Rose, who have like almost identical worldviews of how to interface with the government. So they might have even, gotten together on this. I'm not sure. But both of them said of me, and one of them said of you, this guy is starting to, I'm starting to wonder if this guy is a government agent. Neither of them came out and said it. Like, it was this kind of backhanded, like, oh, you can't accuse me of slander. I didn't say you're a government agent. I just said you're starting to sound like one, you know, which is so pussy and like, oh, I'm going to carefully choose my word. Not that I'd sue him, but it was more a thing of like, when I said later, like, oh, Mark Stevens called me a government agent, he made a big play of saying, oh, no, I didn't. I just said you're starting to sound like one. That's so pussy, man. It really is.
Just say it.
At least Neil Shulman had the gall to say it. Just come out and say it.
Just say that Chris Cantwell's a cop.
Yeah, Chris Cantwell is a cop.
There's a new Facebook page called Chris Cantwell is Illuminati. I think that's pretty funny. I mean, but I don't know. Anybody who wrote an article recently, Chris Cantwell did, called The Libertarian Case for Donald Trump. And
no.
I mean, that's
Libertarian, like, voting for Donald Trump. Pick one.
Yeah. One, Libertarian or voting or Trump. Yeah. Pick one of those three. No two or no three. Yep, it's like the compassionate case for bombing children.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends. Hey, Nick, has any of your yaks ever accused you of being a government plant?
Yeah, it happens every once in a while.
Yeah.
No, I kind of think that some of them might be.
Ah. Oh. Well, you know, somebody said that my bungus fungus is government mind control fungus. I think it is. What do you guys think?
All right, I don't know. I think Neil Shulman will say that.
Yeah. So, Neil Shulman.
I call him L. Neil Shulman. Even though he's J. Neil Shulman, I call him L. Neil Shulman.
Yeah, because he's L. Neil Smith.
He is an author who also makes terrible movies. But at least
I like the Church of Scientology. I got to say, I like L. Neil Smith's graphic novels he did with Scott Beezer. They're great, and they actually kind of formed my worldview of what LibPair would look like. Mm. Basically, there'd be weed everywhere, and everyone would carry a gun. And it would
Could you buy nuclear arms in a mall in Vegas? Underground mall in Vegas?
Maybe.
Okay. So anyways, he wrote this blog post and he says, is there anyone who has met Jim Alexander IV, a.k.a. Jim Jesus, face-to-face? I'm trying to figure out the reason he won't debate me in person in front of a live audience for a alongside night. Is the risk that someone in the audience may finger him as a narc or a confidential informant who has busted libertarians for drugs?
Wow. That is, you know, that's the, I mean, that is the libertarian version of calling someone a communist in 1950. Mm. It really is. It's the, I have no proof, I have no evidence, but I'm going to say it to put the doubt in people's minds. And I got to say, you're nobody until someone thinks you're a government agent in liberty. I've been accused of it a bunch. And yeah,
I guess it's libertarian. Mark McCarthyism.
It is. It really is. Yeah, man.
I think that should be the new phrase for that, libertarian McCarthyism. But yeah. But the real reason I don't want to debate him is because it's absolutely like you're going to debate someone about whether or not their movie is good. Of course, they're never going to agree.
Yep. I mean, really, it's
and
like
people who would sit through that entire movie and survive are probably not going to be that coherent enough to even.
It's like him saying that about you. It's him like punching up and you know thinking he's on some kind of equal ground with you. And really, it's like you know. Some 13-year-old high school basketball player who's not very good saying, like, oh, LeBron, you won't play me one-on-one? You won't fly out and play me one-on-one? What's wrong with you? You must not be confident in your abilities playing basketball. I win, you know? Yeah. It's basically him saying, you didn't show up, you know, you couldn't be commanded to perform, so he wins. But I want to talk about why I think Cantwell's a cop, because I've said it a lot of times.
Libertarian McCarthyism is bad.
I think I was now, because I'm actually going to provide evidence. You know, somebody called into Free Talk Live today. It's pretty funny, and was defending Cantwell. And Ian was like, you know, so which part of Cantwell do you agree with? The white power racist side, or the women hating misogynist side, or the Trump backing right wing side? And the guy was like, oh man, I can't believe you're saying all these falsehoods about Chris Cantwell. And Ian was like, you know, have you ever met him? I'm a good friend with him. I hang out with him all the time. You know, he has said white power, white pride, racist things. He has said women hating misogynist things. And he totally recently has backed Trump. He wrote it. And this guy was just denying that. Like, oh, Cantwell doesn't do that. And that's kind of how a lot of his minions are. But okay, here's.
I think he even made a podcast called The Libertarian Case for Donald Trump, right?
He made it. Yeah. He wrote an article. It's the top article.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Somebody just posted
support Donald Trump.
Picture of Jeremy with Gigi Bowman. Wow.
Oh no.
Gigi Bowman. That's Cantwell's best friend and probably his lover. And I met her and she was so drunk, she shook my hand and while doing so spilled a drink on my wife. That's like my only impression of that lady, other than you know,
that's how Long Island housewives say hello.
Cantwell. So. Yeah, the real housewives of Long Island. Okay, so I think I was the first person to publicly say Cantwell's a cop. There was the first person like to do it in, you know, media to the public. It was July 12th, 2014. Davy Barker and I did a Freedom Fiends called Is Chris Cantwell a Cop? And it has a great picture that's been shared a million times since, which is like the cop on The Simpsons eating a donut with Cantwell's face on it. You've seen that one, right?
Face. Yeah,
cartoon face. It looks perfect. Yep. We'll be back with more about why Cantwell might be a cop after this trip to the market.
Worms.
And some news.
King Baby Radio.
What?
King Baby Radio.
King Baby Radio. Do you know what King Baby Theory is?
It's a theory. We should talk about it when we get back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been teased.
Don't tease me.
Except on radio.
Ooh.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
That went out live.
That's okay.
Yep.
Frankly.
Hang on. Listen, hang on. Go ahead, Nick.
All right.
I'm conducting.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BitCot no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BitCot.org.
It's true.
Donald is chomping Sarah at the Palin. Bit back there.
Yeah, he really is. I almost told Trump to shut up. But first, we're going to hear from Sarah Palin.
Oh, you betcha. Well, I just like to say I love the Freedom Fiends. It's a wonderful show. They got all kinds of wonderful people, and they love talking about cats. Yeah, I love cats. I'd listen. Okay, I've
I'm
going like to
stop
five
you right
cats.
There. This sounds more like Woody Allen than Sarah Palin. although Sarah Palin does have a Minnesota accent. Now, why does she have a Minnesota accent? She lives in Alaska, yeah. And she's born and raised in Idaho. Why does she have a Minnesota accent? I don't get it, man.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And I love how she goes on these non-sequitur trains of thought where she started out talking about one thing, and next thing you know, she's talking about how much she loves ice cream.
Yeah, but...
what does that have to do with Trump?
I'd hit it, man. She's still hot.
I'd wreck it. I want to wreck it.
With love. All right, so Trump, I would not wreck.
Mm-hmm.
I would not hit it, but he would probably hit me.
And frankly, I wouldn't want you to. I wouldn't want you anything. In fact, if I had my way, I'd have my doorman tell you to go home before you even saw my hair.
Trump recently said that he could shoot a man and not lose any votes, and that's what politics have gotten to. So, Trump, tell me
frankly, what I said was I want to shoot a man and who disagrees with me, but they wouldn't let me say that, so I had to say something. And so
Donald, tell us about your friend Chris Cantwell.
Oh, Christopher Cantwell, he's a wonderful person. I think he's Mexican, but he's a wonderful person, and he does this wonderful show. It's called the Some Garbage Podcast Racial Agenda. It's
the Racial Agenda
show.
Podcast. Yeah.
It's a wonderful show. They talk about wonderful things about how black people are inferior and how, you know, we should support me because it's a wonderful
Trump.
Show. It's a wonderful show. And frankly, I think this is how I got banned last time I was on the show, was saying something similar.
You got banned.
Yeah. But it's a wonderful show.
Cantwell would say that we're government plants and cuckolded left libertarians because we don't want people making broad statements about collectivist statements about people's race.
But that's I know for a fact that he's a cuckold. I mean, no, I know.
He's a cuckold,
yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a cuckold, not a cop. Cuckold. I just wanted to make that clear.
All right. So yeah. I'm going to make my case for why I think he's a cop. I've been saying this a long time, and people think I'm kidding. I don't think he's a cop. Like, I don't think he's, you know, Officer Friendly from Keene. I think he's, I have a theory that it's a good possibility in my mind that Cantwell was arrested at some point. And was turned in exchange for, here's what happened. I did a bunch of digging and found out that, okay, you know how Cantwell's username on Twitter is Vote for Cantwell? Like, have you ever wondered about that? Any of you, do you know why that is?
Well,
yeah, he ran for office.
I know why it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like 7 or 8 years ago, Suffolk County Libertarian Party, he ran for office and got thrown out of the Libertarian Party there for calling for violence. Now, this was after he got arrested for some weight of cocaine. You know, it wasn't a gram. It was like, you know, enough coke to send him away for 6 or 7 years in prison, and somehow ended up just serving a few months in jail. That's kind of weird to me. You know, didn't have a high-priced lawyer, had a public defender probably. You know, what happened? Jeremy, you had some friends that had that happen. What happened?
Yeah, that's it's common behavior here on Long Island because they're kind of
Long Island.
There you go. They only care about the revenue generation, so they love to turn people. And I had a couple of friends that happened to over a different substance years. Actually, probably well, it's somewhere around the time that happened. Maybe a couple of years before it happened to Chris. But
did you know when it happened to Chris? Do you have any details about the arrest?
No, I don't. I was not friendly with Christopher at the time when that happened. So,
are you friendly with Chris now? Well, probably not after tonight. But
no, not after tonight.
He won't be.
No.
He
hasn't wanted to talk to me since I became a fiend, which is fine with me. But I had a couple of friends who had some. You know, they were set up by another friend who had been busted, and the cops came to him with an offer and said, "Hey, you can either go to jail," you know, scare tactics. "You can either go to jail for 10 years or you help us out." And so that friend turned on two other friends. And then when that came down, one of them refused to take the deal, spent two or three years in jail. The other one took the deal, never did a day, just was on probation and never really wanted to talk about it after that. Like, a few of us knew the real details, but that's why when you said that, when you explained that to me, that made a lot of sense, because those bells went off in my head. I'm like, hey, this sounds really familiar. Where have I heard this before? And that's exactly what happened to a couple of friends of mine. They just turned them, and, you know, you catch people who either don't have a lot going for them, or somebody who's just a loud mouth in general and now is put in a position where they're scared out of their mind. Not necessarily Campbell,
okay,
but possibly
Here's the rest of my reasons.
Go ahead.
Because I have a lot of them. This could take the rest of the show. So Claire Wolf, who's an OG libertarian, like literally this lady's been writing books about liberty since Cantwell was like five. And I mean, she's the reason Boston Tea Party started writing books. And Boston Tea Party is the reason Larkin Rose, you know, talked about shooting government officials because, you know, of characters in a fiction book that you know, like, definitely Larkin. So it goes like Claire Wolf, Boston Tea Party, Larkin Rose, Cantwell. Cantwell doesn't even know the history before Larkin. Like, he just copied and did some one-upmanship on Larkin's, you know, when to shoot a cop article. So it goes all the way back to Claire Wolf, who like 25 years ago said, "We're at that awkward phase in history. Too late to change it by voting, too late to change anything by voting, and too early to shoot the bastards." Like, that one line is better than the entire canon of Cantwell. And, you know, this is how far it goes back. But Claire Wolf recently wrote a book a couple years ago called Rats. And she wrote it with like some old school 60s radical hippie yippie types. The full name of this book, and it's rats-nosnitch.com. We run an ad for free for this book. It's Rats, Your Guide to Protecting Yourself Against Snitches, Informers, Informants, Agents Provocateur, Narcs, Finks, and Similar Vermin. Great book. You should read it. It could save your life. There's the thing that comes up in this book over and over and over and over is that the informant or agent provocateur is usually the person yelling for violence loudly in a nonviolent movement. Cantwell has done that since anyone heard of him, shortly after he was arrested in Suffolk County for coke, all the way up through like yesterday in his blog post, you know, The Libertarian Case for Trump, which is a non sequitur, where he talked about needing a violent revolution and saying that's the only way to get to liberty, which is not true. All right, so That's like three or four reasons. Then when he pulled the gun on some couple having an argument in Keene, remember that? There's video of it. He's like, basically he was getting in someone's business who wasn't doing anything violent and ended up screaming at him and pointing a gun at him. And there's video of it. It's called I Almost Killed Someone Last Night. It's Cantwell's video of him dealing with this. And then the cops show up, point guns at him. He's got a gun in his hand. He's like, don't shoot, throws it on the ground. The cops, who knew him, they're like, Chris, put the gun down. They didn't shoot him or even arrest him. Like, most cops would like to shoot Cantwell and get away with it because he writes articles about shooting cops, and cops don't like that. They didn't even arrest him. They let him walk. And, you know, they knew who he was. They knew what he'd written. I mean, the cops in Keene might be cooler than in Long Island, but they didn't even arrest him. Nothing happened. Like, you don't get away with that without at least spending some time being interrogated.
Yeah, you know? It was a little worse than that. Like, he was ended up having lunch with the guys all the time. And
right.
He knows them personally.
Okay. That's like
and
item
even
seven.
Calls him, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, after writing his Kill Cops post, you know, he brags about how he's having breakfast now with the cops in Keene. And, you know, that could just be, like, a cover story. Oh, it was, you know, for, like, meeting with his handlers. You know, like, oh, someone saw him. So, all right, plus, he has no visible means of support, no job except for begging on the internet, and he pays his rent and gets by.
That's I'm a desperate suspect. Need of money. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, nobody makes... I beg on the internet, and I don't get enough money to pay my rent or my...
He does something with computers or something.
No, he used to. He used to in New York City. Like, he used to have an office job doing IT stuff, but
no, I know,
he gave that up to move to Keene. All right, here's another one. Remember how the FBI tried to get Rich Paul to spy on Ian Freeman, and Rich refused? I don't know if you guys know about this, but he was busted for like acid or something or some weight of marijuana and refused and like almost went to prison and then didn't. And then, you know, like Rich Paul risked his freedom to not. They wanted him to wear a wire and go into, you know, into Ian's house and get stuff on him. So and he refused to do it. Don't you think that after failing to do that, they try to find another guy to do it? Chris Cantwell is like best friends with Ian Freeman and will do any activism with him, even boring stuff like handing out flyers at the county fair, which is not really evidence, but I think anyone on the cop payroll would have no issue doing it, you know?
Or staying out all night watching his house, making sure someone doesn't steal a flag.
I know, man.
$3 flag.
A $3 flag. Yep. Yeah. Let's see. What else we got? Other reasons, Cantwell. I guess that's it.
Yep.
But I think that's enough evidence to.
He's got a copy beard, by the way.
Yeah,
he's got a copy beard.
Yeah. Oh, it was. You know, it might not have been a coke thing, but it was a DUI felony. It was something, and I know that you said he used to do coke, but I don't know the exact details of it. But he did get arrested for a felony and ended up serving like no time at all back in the day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's well, also, like I said, it's possible.
It's just fun to say he's a cop. He's probably not, but it's fun. Yeah.
I think my favorite video of Cantwell is the one where he's in his mom's backyard
burning a flag.
Burning a flag, talking about how great liberty is.
Yeah, in his rich mom's backyard. I mean, that's a nice neighborhood, that town. And it's like, you know, he's you know, like, what was he, like 28 years old, living with his mother at the time? And then
he was older than me at the time, and I was 30.
He's like 33 or 34 now, and he's moved out from his mother. Now he's defooed his mother. Like, yeah, thanks for raising me and paying for my food and boarding for 32 years, but I'm not talking to you anymore now. You know?
And getting melted nylon all over your nice fire pit.
I know. They probably had to throw the fire pit out and get a new one. Yeah. You can't cook food after burning a flag.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. She's rich. She can afford it.
Yeah. And we do want to raise money to get MK Lawrence a 23andMe kit to prove she's got Neanderthal genes. Yep. We'll put that.
I wish I was 100% Neanderthal kin.
We'll put that in the show notes tonight, too.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Yeah.
Too busy talking to your talk right now.
Yep. Yeah. So that guy that that guy that called into Free Talk Live today defending Cantwell, and not even knowing what Cantwell was about because he denied it when Ian Freeman rightfully accused Cantwell of being a racist, misogynist, Trump supporter, right winger, and he is all those things by his own admission. I looked that guy up on YouTube and found his channel, and he has like 200 videos favorited and no videos he's made of his own. That's what I find, is like people who complain the most about other people's generally don't make any media. They just criticize other people's. But you know, this guy didn't make any videos, but he'd favorited like 200 videos, and every single one of them was either a Cantwell video or a Molyneux video. What kind of like mind control would that be if all you watched were those two people's videos? Man.
I've run into zeitgeisters who don't watch anything except liberal propaganda documentaries.
Brainwashed.
Like, yeah.
They're brainwashing themselves.
Yeah, I remember I posted something like, oh, I thought something was a good movie, and he was like, I don't watch those types of movies because they're distractions to the real issues. Like, what kind of, like... I can't imagine hanging out with someone like that. That's insufferable.
Steve Miller Miller's okay. He didn't make the show last night. We were worried about him from Snowy the Death Dealer, Snowpocalypse, but he's okay. He just didn't have internet. So I have one more reason. What's that?
Snowacost.
Yeah. I have one more reason I think Cantwell is a narc.
Snowa.
Or is a government plant, maybe. It's got to do with the Jekyll and Hyde nature of his writing. His articles, his blog post articles, they're generally, you know, the logic in them is specious. Like, he talks about RK selection as an actual, you know, aspect of humanity or of animals. And, like, there's actually, like, a friend of ours, Kevin McKernan, who is a DNA scientist who worked on the Human Genome Project. And he has recently said that, in reference to Molyneux believing the RK selection thing, that it's like it's a completely debunked theory, and Molyneux presents it as fact, and then Cantwell copies him on that. But okay, despite the fact,
I love to talk to that guy, by the way.
Oh yeah, just hit him up on the Hollywood. Invite him on the Lulberts, man. Go on. And I want to say too, like we were talking about speed of DNA. Like I'm not wanting the 23andMe test to, you know, find racial purity in me. I hope I'm diverse. Because diverse species are stronger. And I'm doing it because I want to look for health things, you know, like something to be helpful to my doctors, really.
Yeah, mutts live longer than purebreds.
Yeah, because I'm like, true, you know, sick for no reason at all, so, or no discernible reason, so we want to know what it is. There might be a gene thing. So, anyway, so Cantwell's articles, while they do have a lot of leaps in logic, they're extraordinarily well written. They are, there's not a single typo in them, which is pretty hard. You know, they don't use big words when they don't need to. They have different lengths of sentences in a way that works in a rhythm that's well. They have like three act format. They have the thesis, then the alleged proof of the thesis, and then the conclusion. I mean, it's like really well written first year, second year college term papers. So that's his writing. But then sometimes when he posts comments on forums, he sounds like a drunk, retarded 9-year-old. It does not sound like the same person, which leads me to believe that his articles might be being written by some government committee, you know, to bolster his believability and get people to like him so he can, you know, find out what they know and tell his handlers.
Well, that is
that
possible.
Or he figured out how to use Grammarly. Yeah.
What's that? Is that a website?
It's an application for, or it's like a thing for Chrome or whatever that corrects your grammar.
But you know what? His grammar is not technically perfect, which to me is a sign of good writing to not be technically perfect. I'm a really good writer, and if I turn on, and I have to use spell check all the time, like in Microsoft Word, but if I turn on grammar check, the whole article is underlined in red. For one thing, I tend to use, I write the way people talk or the way I talk, which is not perfect grammar. One of the big indicators of that is I will use incomplete sentences as their own paragraph for emphasis, comma, pause, like this, pause, Okay, the like this in there, I would totally write that as its own paragraph at the end of another paragraph. That is not good grammar, you know, because it's missing a subject, object, whatever combination. But yeah, so his stuff is not perfect grammar. It is perfect spelling, you know, and he never does anything like puts T-H-E-I-R when he means T-H-E-Y apostrophe, you know, R-E, like that kind of perfect grammar. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a grammar Nazi, but yeah, I let some things slide. But when things are getting, when people are using ellipses as periods, I go crazy.
Well, if you use ellipses as periods, you have to do it right. You have to have three coming into a sentence and four at the end of the sentence, because the fourth one is the period that would be at the end of that sentence.
Wrong.
No, that's right. That's right.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
I do wrong stuff on my podcast. I can do wrong stuff on this radio show.
Okay.
That's our word.
This is Melvin here from the Freedom Fiends. We are Lulberts. Jim Jesus runs the Lulberts podcast. We got Jeremy here, Jeremy Heisenberger, and we got young Nick, who's a teenager. So he doesn't use Fiend Phone. He uses Teen Phone. Didn't you say Teen Phone a minute ago? I heard you say that.
I have no idea. I probably did.
All right. So
it comes with Tiger Beat magazine.
Dobby Barker has been invited. Dobby Barker's been invited to come on back on the Freedom Fiends, be a full-time fiend. There's a petition. It's got 53 people signed it so far. I invited him back tonight, and he said he wrote on Facebook that he was under the impression he was on some kind of probation. Not true. I said that as a joke in passing like 6 months ago on the show. But he says he wants High Priest as a title. Freedom is so pre-9/11, he'd rather be the High Priest of Uncertitude. Let's see. Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. Yep. So
I'm Dobby, old.
Dobby, come home. Come home to the Fiends. Yeah, we miss him. He also wrote some what squirms stand for. Do you know, squirms is what the Fiends are calling their program to raise money to promote the Fiends. And lately we've been buying radio receivers to give to bums. I mean, the housingly challenged in Philadelphia. So here's Davi's squirms. He made four or five of them. Subtle quivering ultra internal random movements. Semi quantum uterine invading reproductive molecules. These are already better than anybody done. Dobby needs to come back in the show. Super queer Unitarians invalidate recreational marriage. Wow. I like that.
Settled.
What does that mean? He wins? Settled?
Yes, settled. Okay. It's settled.
Game over.
Slush. Satchel.
Here's another. This one's great because it really describes what the fiend would be, the fund would be. Slush quality unfunded investment reserve money. I really like that one, man. It's the Fiend Slush Fund. Yeah. So there. Thanks, Dobby. Well,
as long as Dobby keeps brilliant. Working on this, I will take back my original position that we cannot have a rotating, you know, monthly acronym, because with the stuff like this, we can keep changing it quite easily.
Yeah.
Dobby writes like someone who's tripping, and he's like sober. It's weird. He just wrote, you know, he said, "It only goes to prove my point. I have an intimate personal relationship with uncertainty. I can see it working in my everyday life." Dobby, come home. We miss you. All right. He'll be on at some point. All right. So Nick is going to read.
If anything, just keep run. At least let us run the shiny badges ad again. I miss that. I miss that most of all.
Wow. They didn't run that long. I've run like 2 Dobby ads after that ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not running a Dobby ad now. You have to be on the show to have your ad run 7 nights a week. So Dobby, come back and we'll run your latest ad. There you go. There's a deal. I'll pay you.
Another ad.
Ads. Yeah. No, I replaced it with. God, what was it? It was the new Bipcot ad, I think.
Oh, okay.
So we're gonna have some readings here from young Nick over Teen Phone about this gun grabber woman. You know, in most states, like, politicians are gun grabber. In Wyoming, if you try to grab a gun, you end up going to prison for it. This lady tried to be a literal gun grabber, and I gotta say this mugshot of hers is like the saddest looking mugshot ever. It looks like, "I'm sorry, I shot my husband." It really, I almost feel for her, but go ahead and read this article, Nick. I don't. She shot her husband. Idiot. Grabbing his gun while he was asleep. I bet
she cleans up well, by the way.
She hates guns. She tried to grab his gun when he was sleeping, and it went off and shot him. So go ahead and read this, young Nick.
Yeah, here's the story from K2Radio.com. A Casper woman is accused of mishandling a gun and shooting her husband, but her husband wants the charges dropped. 29-year-old Stephanie Lutness has pleaded not guilty to 1 count of aggravated assault and battery with a deadly weapon and 1 count of possession of a deadly weapon with unlawful intent. Investigators with the Casper Police Department say in early December, Lutness had to walk home from a bar because her husband left without her. When she arrived home, she found her husband laying on the bed and his handgun was nearby.
Okay, so he's no prize pig either. You know, he's out drinking a lot and he left her at the bar. They got an argument and he made her walk home. That's not the greatest husbanding ever. But this woman's a loon, you know, really. Maybe he was doing the best he could do to just walk away. Maybe she was hounding him, but who knows? Go on.
Lutness said that she woke him up and yelled at him to get rid of the gun, then tried to hand it to him when it went off and a bullet stuck him in the thigh. She added that she had never used guns before because they give her anxiety. The victim was able to tell police a similar version of events and said he had the gun due to rising hostility with Lutness's ex-husband's family. The current husband, the victim, hired Lutness's defense attorney and through the attorney has requested that the charges be dropped and that the no contact order be lifted because he says the shooting was an accident. Natrona County District Court Judge Catherine Wilking has taken the request under advisement and will schedule a bond modification hearing at a later date to allow prosecutors some time to respond to the request. Lutness is free on $15,000 bond, waiting trial, and could face up to 10 years in prison on the aggravated assault charge and up to 5 years in prison on the possession of a deadly weapon charge if convicted.
I got it. Wow. I got to say, you know, libertarian paradise, if the husband wouldn't press charges, she wouldn't be facing charges. You know, he's the only victim here. Although, I think in a libertarian paradise also... She would be completely ostracized. Like, nobody would do business with her. She'd have to leave town and go work on the asteroid mines in Alpha Centauri. Only the hottest and most dangerous and noisiest jobs would be available to her. And, you know, I think that some creative judge could probably sentence her to, in Wyoming, in the non-lib pair of Wyoming, I think they should sentence her, if you're going to, you know, have that kind of court, I think they should not... sent her to prison, but they should sentence her to take gun safety classes and learn to responsibly handle firearms,
or at least watch your movie, right?
Watch Guns and I sentence you to Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom.
Wait, what?
Beats prison.
I mean, yes, that's a great movie.
Oh, it would give her anxiety.
Just kidding. Actually, I just did like that one.
Yeah. Well, how could you not? It's fun.
Well, this is really
only a Cobb wouldn't like it, right?
Is it better than Alongside Night? Oh yeah, if you don't like it, you're a cop.
Well, even if it was terrible, it'd be better.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Jeremy, what?
Okay. Just keep talking over me. Right. No, I was just gonna say the most ridiculous part about this is like towards the end where it says, you know, the husband made the request and now the judge is taking it under advisement. It's like the guy doesn't want to press charges. Why does there need to be any other? Like that's just even if you're gonna live in the status
this is,
paradigm.
This is man, this is an A to B assault. The judge should see his way out of it.
There you go. But even if you want to take like the constitutional view of things, it's like, you know, you're wasting money now. Now you're, you know, even if you want to be somebody who says, oh, okay, well, taxes are necessary, but I don't want them wasted. Well, this is just a waste of money. Why does it need to be why is there any advisement? The guy said, don't press charges. Okay, end of story.
Yeah, I'll bet he paid her bail, too, her bond.
Well, it says he hired her defense attorney, so I would assume he did.
Yeah, although he should rethink things. He should. I don't know, man. My wife hated guns when I met her, but so did I. And then someone broke into our house, and I said, "We're getting a gun, honey." And she said, "I don't want to. Guns are gun. Having a gun means the world's a bad place." And I said, "The world sometimes is a bad place, and I love you, and that's why we're going to have a gun in the house." And, you know, then we got a shotgun, and she shot it, and she's like, "I love this. I want more guns." And now she carries a Glock, you know, everywhere she goes. So there. I trained my woman. This guy should
isn't
be the
that,
same.
Isn't that amazing how that works? I had the same thing happen with my wife. She grew up with a dad who was a cop who would never let her touch a gun.
Wow. Then, that says a lot right there.
Yeah. And then when I started getting into shooting a little bit, she was a little nervous, but I said, you know, I took her out one day and we actually went out with the Oath Keepers back then, cause I was still a member with those guys, and somebody handed her an AR, and she went from being terrified to going, "When can we come again?" So yeah.
What were you? I found her on Facebook, by the way. This
oh really?
The cast lady? Yeah,
she's hassle her.
I'm not going to. She's not bad looking. That's probably why he's keeping.
She's
her
not. Home. She's just bawling her eyes out in this photo.
No, I'm just saying, like when she's dolled up, she's not that bad
I'm
looking.
Sorry, yeah, I shoot my husband.
Yeah.
Well, if that's from the night that she shot him, well, she had been out.
Yeah,
She was out at the bar drunk. She had to walk home, and then she shot her husband.
Yeah.
How would you look after that, Jim?
Yeah. I'm not saying. I said she probably cleaned up well when I first saw her, and then I verified.
Oh, so that's okay. She cleaned up well, so we could forgive her.
Yeah, I found her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went to Casper College, which is largely known for one of the weirder school shootings in recent memory. And when this happened, I was like, oh God, this is what the nation's thinking of us. There was a school shooting at Casper College with a bow and arrow. A murder. Like two people murdered. Like a guy went into Casper College with a crossbow. Or no, I think it was a bow and arrow. And shot and killed his dad, who was teaching a class at the time, and then like went up the street and shot the dad's girlfriend. And then he had a gun with him too, and he went and shot somebody else with the gun, like right off the campus. So, yeah, man, weird. Casper's a weird place, man. It really is.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go with that. How do you premeditated murder with a bow and arrow? I've never heard of that.
It's very Wyoming. Although, you know, there's probably more gun ownership per capita in Wyoming than any other state. North Dakota claims that they are the most, but they're measuring it on concealed carry permit issuance, which isn't really a true indicator of gun ownership, especially since in Wyoming you don't need a carry permit to carry concealed. So
there are more guns in Wyoming than people.
Oh, than sheep even. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and before they made it legal here to carry a concealed weapon without a permit, it was a fine of $700. Like, you know, try getting caught with a gun in your pocket in California or New York. You'll go to prison for a year at least. Here is, you know, it's a fine if they arrest you. Like, basically what I'm saying is I think a lot of normal people who aren't people who, you know, like us, who think all laws, you know, cops are immoral, whatever, like people who are law abiding would carry guns here illegally before you could carry guns here legally concealed, just because, oh, it's just a gun, whatever, you know, it's not drugs. We'll be back for the redemption and third act after this trip from the market.
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
So, Nick, I heard you're debating a Marxist.
Yeah. Well, so it's because this kid reached out to me. He's going to a high school near me here in Oregon, and one of our mutual friends turned him on to me. I guess he wrote an article. I'm not going to show out the link or anything because I don't think it deserves anything. He's making a semantic argument that anarcho-capitalism is impossible, and it's an interesting argument, but he doesn't define any of his terms. So that's what I responded. He sent me this article. He says, hey, somebody told me that you'd rip this to shreds, and I just told him basically in a nice way, you know, you didn't define your terms. I have no reason to try to refute this. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What do you mean exploitation?
Right. What is class division? What is class oppression?
Well, yeah, they don't have to define their terms. They prefer a fluid language where words can mean what they need them to mean at that particular time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that it may be worth your time to debate like an anarchist communist or a libertarian socialist or a democratic socialist or any kind of socialist communist. It's worth your time to debate, except any kind of Marxist. Marxism has had every opportunity in the world to get it to work, and they couldn't do it.
Marx was a Marxist welfare whore. He was he never really worked much. He was supported by his wife's rich family. He was basically the equivalent of, you know, the guy who now sits on his trust fund in Starbucks blogging on his iPad about why capitalism sucks.
Yeah, and almost any ideology like that has, even when they have some glimmer of existing, they can always go, we didn't get a fair chance in Spain, you know, like the fascists came in and we didn't get a fair shot. Like, okay, I can understand why you could believe that.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about the Spanish Revolution was that the anarchists and the government were on the same side.
Yeah, but Marx had... They had Russia, they had China, they had North Korea, they've had Vietnam, Cuba. They've had Cuba. Like, they've had all these chances, and every single time it just devolves into, like, a dictatorship, a terrible dictatorship where nothing works.
Where all your cars are 70 years old.
And you can't let your kids play outside because someone would kidnap them and eat them because there's no food. So we know that that doesn't work, but you're just like, oh, but we give it one more try. Like, no, you've had your shot. It doesn't work. And the world
insanity.
Yeah, even the
world, the same things over and over and expecting different results.
Yeah, we've the world has moved on. Now they're trying other things. So don't even waste your time with Marxists.
You know, I never really liked that statement. It's an AA statement. Insanity. The definition of insanity is trying the same things over and over and expecting different results. It's not an AA. It predates AA. Are you saying?
Yeah.
Well, it probably does, but it's really widely used in AA. And here's the thing. Like, yes, that is insane to do that, but it's not really the definition of insanity because, you know, the definition of insanity is also like shooting your parents once because they tell you to clean your room.
Well, what about playing a slot machine? Is that insane?
Maybe.
I think it is if you
take food off your children's table to do it.
It's true. But I mean, like, if you're just having, like, oh, I want to go spend below $20 at the casino. And
no, but my friend.
Yeah. And you're doing the same thing by pulling that lever, expecting a different result. And you're actually getting different results. So
I'll tell you what can happen, though, even if you're not taking food off your children's table. I have a friend named Louie who used to be the manager of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the road manager. And he has the word Ozzy tattooed across his knuckles, like Ozzy Osbourne. And I remember when he got it. And it was when Dave Navarro was in the band, and I was like, wow, why do you have Ozzy on your knuckles now? And he said, Michael, never play poker in Vegas with millionaires. Like, he was playing poker with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and ran out of money and just couldn't stop gambling. And Dave Navarro was like, I'll tell you what, I'll spot you a bunch of chips. But if you lose, you're getting Ozzy tattooed on your knuckles tonight. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Argue with everyone, just not with Marxists. And don't gamble with Dave Navarro.
Man, how the mighty have fallen. All he is like a reality show judge now. He used to be a great rock star. Now he's just a reality show judge. For a tattoo reality show, most lately. I wonder if the Ozzy story will come up.
He's still, it should. Yeah, but he's still a pretty face. That's all he needs, man. He's still racking in the dough, isn't he?
Rick Rubin ruined Californication. That's some inside baseball right there.
My last favorite record of them was the one Navarro's on that all the longtime fans hated. I love One Hot Minute. It's a great record.
I love all of you.
Worms. Worms.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms.